The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
This morning is a first for me. So you are blessed because you get to experience one of my first. And the first for me is going to be, I'm going to try to preach a short series of sermons, which is not always possible for me, because I'm sure, as most of you know, that Brother Tim is very gracious to Brother Neil and I, and we set out a schedule, a year in advance maybe, of who's going to be preaching when. And as most of you have seen, Brother Tim, maybe except for a fifth Sunday here and there, he preaches every Sunday here. And then Brother Neil and I will rotate. Some, there may be a month that I will preach one time with Brother Tim, and that same month, Brother Neil may preach twice with him. And then the next month, I may preach twice with him, and then Brother Neil would preach once with him. So we have this schedule laid out. And so depending on other churches' need and if they've lined us up to preach for them, it may be that I go sometimes 3 or 4 weeks without preaching at Bethlehem at all. I'm very thankful for the opportunities that Brother Tim gives us, but of sermons, because I can't remember what I preached last Sunday. And so it would be difficult to preach something to you to be continued at the end of it, and then come back maybe 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, sometimes more than that, and then do part two, because chances are you're not going to have remembered part one, and you're going to have a lot of information from these other brothers between the two. So it's difficult. It's also a blessing sometimes, because you can sit down and preach a sermon on a particular topic, and you know, you open it and you close it in 25 minutes and you can move on to the next topic. I hope the Lord is in this, and I believe that He is, if for no other reason. I was telling Tiffany last week, I said, you know, I've really got something on my mind. I said, but there's no possible way that I can preach this just in one sermon. And the next day, Brother Tim sends me a text saying, hey, I want you to go ahead and take these two dates also because of the situation with Brother Neil in Pleasant Hill. And it just so happens that in the next couple months that I'm going to be preaching at Bethlehem a whole lot more than I normally am. So I believe that was maybe providential. Maybe the Lord answered a prayer. I guess we'll find out. I hope that He blesses this. If not, it was just a coincidence. But the subject that I've got on my mind is the subject of apathy. So this is probably not a big amening type subject, but it's a subject that I've been burdened with recently. And the more that I've studied it, not only did I become more burdened to preach it, but I became more convicted in my own heart about the struggle that I have with apathy. Now, apathy, if you'll let me define it for you, very simply put, apathy is the feeling of not feeling. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Apathy is the feeling of not feeling. And we probably have all experienced that to some degree or another. I'd like to, hopefully if the Lord blesses, to go over the next several weeks here and talk to you about the dangers of apathy. I'd like to talk to you about the source of apathy, where it tends to come from, and the signs of apathy, and how to recover from apathy. So apathy is the feeling of not feeling, and we can all probably relate to that in a just from a secular standpoint. Has there ever been anything in your life that you seem to have been very excited about and very zealous about, and then as time goes by, you really just grow indifferent? You're not against it. You're not making stands to get it stopped, but you're also not doing anything to promote it and to engage in it. You see, apathy is not the opposite of zeal. All right? On one hand, you've got zeal. And on the other hand, you've got a feeling of just being destitute of any feeling towards it at all, and actually being somewhat against it. Maybe there's some hatred against something. Well, apathy is not zeal. Apathy is not being against something. Apathy is being right in the middle. You don't really care if it happens, and you don't really care if it doesn't happen. It's being apathetic. Maybe you've had a job before that you, at one time, you got up and you were excited about that job and you couldn't wait to get there and get busy doing the things that you do in your job. And then maybe some time goes by and you would say to yourself, you know, I don't really look forward to going to my job. But I also don't really dread going to my job. I'm just kind of numb to it. I'm just kind of indifferent and apathetic about my job. Now, from a medical standpoint, we also see that in the way our bodies act sometimes. From a medical standpoint, you can see people become indifferent to things. From a medical standpoint, I did some reading about that where you can, maybe it's a brain injury, or maybe it's a particular type of disease, or maybe there's some depression in your life or things like that, where the things that maybe you once were zealous about, now you're just kind of, you know, whatever, I don't care. Now, the danger of apathy really comes into play when we talk about not our secular life, not our medical life, but our spiritual life. From a spiritual standpoint about the Lord, and then on the other hand, you've got people that are God-hating and that are against the Lord. And then you've got a pile of people right in the middle that are just kind of, you know, I'm not against it, but, you know, I'm not really pursuing it like I maybe ought to be. Well, that's where apathy comes into play. I'd like to read from you how the Lord views apathy from a spiritual standpoint. And this ought to be very alarming to us. In Revelations, the third chapter, the Lord is talking to the church at Laodicea. And he says this, he says in verse 15, Revelations 3, verse 15, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, the word hot there literally means zealous. The word cold there means to be destitute of any feeling towards God. He says, I know thy works, that you're not zealous. I know that you're not completely destitute of feelings towards me. I would that thou wert either one or the other. I would that thou were either hot, cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I don't have to define what the word spew there means, but it means that is a great sickening feeling to the Lord to watch his people neither be zealous or destitute of feeling towards him, but to just kind of be in the middle of the road where they're just kind of indifferent. And I suspect that if I fall into one of those categories, the majority of the time I fall right in the middle. And I suspect that most of God's people probably spend a lot of their time right in the middle. You know, it has grieved my heart before, and I have begged the Lord before. I said, Lord, I want to feel more than I feel. And I really believe that if we could see just how terrible and nasty hell is, which is what we have been delivered from, or if we could see how glorious heaven is, or if we could really see the price and the suffering that Christ had to pay as he endured the wrath of God for our sins, or maybe if we could just see all the providential ways the hand of the Lord is on us and guides us and protects us on a daily basis, it would probably be a lot easier to stay zealous.
Yeah.
But we very quickly grow blind to those things. Sometimes I get down on my knees and I say, Lord, help me to really embrace and help me to know the power of your salvation. Help those things to be fresh on my mind, to look and remember what I've been delivered from.
Amen.
Help me to remember that. Help me to feel what I ought to feel as one who has been saved from something.
Right.
Help me have a gratitude, Lord, that I really don't feel like I have right now. Help me to have an attitude to look forward to the glorious things that you've promised your children in heaven.
Right.
Lord, help me to see all the times that my family is brought back safely home to me. Help me to understand, Lord, that you send your angels to stand around us and to guard, and you put hedges of protection around us. Help me to see those things. Because it's hard for me to be apathetic when I have that type of mind. Much rather. But apathy so quickly sneaks in, and the Lord says, I would much rather you be against me than to just kind of be indifferent.
Wow.
That's pretty hard to swallow, isn't
yeah.
it? Especially when you start to ask yourself this question, how excited were you about coming to church this morning? How excited were you, and how much were you looking forward to a preacher standing up and preaching to you? How much were you excited about, and how much thought have you given to the blessing of standing here amongst God's people and singing to a God who saved you from His wrath and from an eternity in hell? I know how you feel right now, because I feel the same way. I fell right in the middle of the road. I wasn't against it. I wasn't dreading coming to church. I wasn't dreading listening to somebody preach. I wasn't dreading the song service. But was I excited and zealous about it? Or am I just kind of here because that's what I do on Sunday mornings? God would rather you be against it than to just come in here and be like, eh, it's just what I do. That ought to wake you up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's put me on my knees several times since I've been studying this. The subject of apathy. Now, today, this morning, I want to begin to go over the dangers of apathy. And I won't have time to get through all of it. It may take me two or three sermons to get through it. I don't know. But the dangers of having an attitude where you're just kind of indifferent to the things of God. Number one, I would say this. When we are in a spiritually apathetic state of mind, it is automatic that we will grow spiritually lazy. When you're not zealous about something, doesn't it make it that much more difficult to get up and go do it? I don't care if it's your job or whatever it is. When I'm excited about something, I have no trouble getting myself in gear and getting over somewhere and trying to perform something. But when I'm not excited about it and I'm not zealous about it, you know, you drag your feet, you know, like a kid who's been told to go clean their room up. Think about this. Hey, kids, there's a bunch of presents over there. Go get them. Hey, kids, go clean your room. They go differently. Because one of them they're excited about and one of them not. We grow lazy when we're not excited and zealous about something. And there is every time that we grow apathetic spiritually going to be a decline in our spiritual health. You can't help that. That's going to happen. And we grow lazy. Now, in the book of Proverbs, in the 22nd chapter, there's a very interesting scene that plays out here. I said 22, I meant 23. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Actually, make that 24. The 24th chapter. Picture this scene here. It's a man, he says in verse 30 of Proverbs 24, he says, I went by the field of the slothful, a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And he says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, yet a little laziness, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now I want you to picture that scene. This man's walking down the road, and he looks over there, and he looks at this man's field. He looks at his vineyard. This is a place, this is a garden. This is a place where things should be growing. It should be manicured. It should be well taken care of. And he goes by a man who owns a vineyard, and he owns this garden, but this is a lazy man. And he looks at this man's garden, and as he looks at it, he says, all the things that he's trying to grow in there, all the plants, all the trees, he says, it's all grown over with vines and it's got thorns growing all up in it. And the wall that was set around it, it's broken down. Now, what condition do you think that garden and that vineyard's going to be in? It's in terrible condition. Chances are it has very little fruit being brought forth. But I want you to notice this thing right here. In this garden, and I want you to picture your life as being a garden, because many times in the Bible, the Lord compares our life to a garden. Now, I want you to picture that garden being your life. Somebody walks by and looks at your life. What do they see? Well, here, when this man looks in the vineyard, he sees thorns growing all up in the garden where they don't belong. And if you read over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, when we talk about the parable of the sower, do you know oftentimes in the Bible what thorns represent? It says the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Do you think sometimes the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches have a way of making us a little indifferent to God?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I also find this interesting. He says the stone wall thereof was broken down. There's two reasons, typically, that you would have a stone wall around a garden like that. One is for a boundary line. You know, to say, hey, this is where my land starts and your land stops. It's a landline. The other reason would be to keep certain animals out of it. Because if you grow a garden, you know, you'll see them around here sometimes. A man goes out and grows a garden, and if he doesn't put a high fence around it, the deer will come in and eat everything he's got. And he's wasted all his time and he'll never bring forth any fruit. So this man, in his laziness, has seen the wall fall down unrepaired where any wild animal can come in and eat whatever fruit is there. And there's also some confusion maybe about where the property is and who this belongs to. Now I want you to think about yourself being that garden. Are there thorns in your life? Are there things growing up in your life that's choking out the fruit? And like the Bible says, as I mentioned, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches. Are those things growing up in your life? Or what about this? When somebody looks at your life, do they see a nice rock wall around your life that says, I belong to the Lord? Or is there a cloudiness? Is there a gray area about who owns you? I want somebody to look at me and say, there's a man that the Lord has bought. There's a man that the Lord has possessed him and taken him and bought him to be his own.
Amen.
I want people to see the rock wall of spiritual things around me so I'm identified as being the Lord's. I want to see that around you. But as we grow lazy spiritually, our apathy will lead us into laziness. It's going to be harder and harder and harder, one, to bring forth much fruit. And two, it's going to be more difficult for those around you to justify you by your works. Now, I don't have time to go in justification by works, but all that means is this, that other people see you and declare you just based on the godly actions they see you doing. How many times do you hear somebody say, I believe with all my heart that person over there is a child of God because of what I see them doing or what I have seen them doing in the past? That's called being justified by works. It won't get you anything in heaven, but in the eyes of men, it's important.
Right.
Now, when we grow apathetic, one of the dangers is we will quickly become lazy. And we will quickly see the thorns growing up in our life. And we will quickly have the lines blurred and somebody standing around saying, I don't know if that's a child of God or not, because they sure don't act like it. I want to have a well-defined wall between me and the world. So somebody could say, that's the Lord's property. You understand? Now, I've got six here. I'm going to give you one or two more in about 5 minutes. Another danger of apathy is that it is highly contagious. The Bible tells us in multiple places that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You take a lump of dough and you just put a little yeast, a little bit of leaven in there, and mix it all up, and it affects the whole batch of it. You can take one little drop of poison and mix it into a big bucket of water, and the whole bucket becomes poisonous. Just a little bit. It takes one person with an indifferent, apathetic attitude amongst a body of believers to begin to affect it. We are very easily swayed, are we not?
Yeah.
Now I want you to picture, or maybe I am, maybe y'all may not be, but I am. You know, I want you to imagine you going up to a ball game one time, and maybe you're not familiar with maybe it's a high school team, and you're not too familiar with the teams playing, and you're going to watch a friend of yours child play, and you don't know much about the teams, and you sit down by the parents there, and they're getting ready to kick off, and the parent is excited. It says, man, this is the biggest game of the year. I can't wait. If we win this one, we're going to set all kind of school records. You know, we've got scouts here. You know, this is the greatest game ever. I'm so glad you're here because this is number one ranked against number two. We're going to be on our feet the whole time. You'd probably get kind of excited, wouldn't you? You'd find yourself standing up and shouting when somebody that you don't even know makes a tackle just based on what they said. But what if you sat down by that person, and that person said, and you said, hey, man, I'm here. Well, good. I mean, this is going to be, you know, I don't really care either way. I don't care if we win. I don't care if we lose. You know, hey, let me show you this deer I killed on my phone. What's going to happen? You automatically have a different change in your mind how you respond to that football game. It's going to happen. What about spiritual matters? What if somebody is excited about the Lord? It's going to have a way of rubbing off on you.
Right.
But if somebody's apathetic and indifferent,
right,
and can take or leave church and has just whatever, I'll go because I'm supposed to go, it's going to rub off on you. A danger of being apathetic is don't hang around apathetic people,
right,
because they will rub off on you. I want to give you this one, and I'll save the other one for the next time, the other three. Apathy, I want you to listen now. Apathy very easily turns into unbelief. You hear me?
Yeah.
Apathy, an indifference towards the spiritual things of God, very quickly can morph into unbelief. Now, I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for the sin of murder, he died for the sin of lying, he died for the sin of lust, and he died for the sin of unbelief.
Yeah.
Unbelief, and you may not understand me when I say this, we can talk later. The sin of unbelief is not going to keep you out of heaven. Because he died for that sin too. And you will find many times in the Bible where Jesus does what? He upbraids his apostles.
Right.
For what?
Unbelief.
To get to the point where you may not profess it with your mouth that I don't believe, but you act like it. You can say all day, I don't believe that I'm going to get wet when it rains, but if you go inside every time the clouds darken up, you believe it. You believe you'll get wet. So it's this way. We may not profess our unbelief, but we act like it. Unbelief is manifested this way. When you try everything else in the world to fix your problems before you go to the Lord. That's unbelief.
Yeah.
That's all that is. And apathy very quickly leads to unbelief. I wonder sometimes when you see people, maybe you would say, I guess the right way to say it would be to renounce the faith. To say I'm no longer walking with the idea or belief that there is even a God. I bet if you look at that person, if they've been a part of the church a long time, the season before that declaration was a season of apathy. I can almost guarantee you.
Right.
Is being in a state of mind where you're apathetic dangerous? Absolutely. It absolutely is dangerous. Now, let me close with this. On the dangers of apathy, we mentioned several today. Sometimes we fail to recognize that the garden of our life is overrun with thorns and our wall is broken down. And sometimes we have a difficulty realizing that we are even living in that state because we get used to it, right? But anytime you see somebody in that state, or you find yourself in that state, I want you to step back for just a second and look at the condition of their spiritual life before they got in that state. And you know what you're going to find every single time? You will not find zeal. Chances are, you won't find them being destitute of all things that are spiritual. You'll find them going through the motions and just doing it because that's what I've always done. There are many dangers of apathy. I don't want to have an apathetic heart. I don't want to have an apathetic mind, and I don't want you to either. So I'm praying that the Lord will bless this short series that we're going to do, and I'm thankful also for the podcast, because you may miss a Sunday here and there, and you can go back to the podcast, and there's going to be apathy part one and part two and maybe part 50. Who knows? But thank you for your attention. Pray for Brother Tim.